Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
The battle for America is on.
Remembering is a good thing. We pause to remember Pearl Harbor every December 7th. It was the day Japan delivered its declaration of war against America in an unconventional way. And as screenwriter Donald Sanford put it in Tora, 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 into the mouth of Japanese Admiral Yamamoto, I fear all we've done is awakened a sleeping giant and filled him with a terrible resolve. Should we forget about all that? Is it right to remember these pivots in history? Maduro is the leader of Nimrod's cartel, the Sons, tasked with weaponizing drugs against the United States, and a whistleblower has recently stepped forward who was formerly a Venezuelan general, three-star general, and head of intelligence for Hugo Chavez and Nicolas Maduro. Well, this whistleblower spilled the dancing beans. Har har. Venezuela launched an undeclared war on America. Something to think about as we remember Pearl Harbor. I'm thinking this will probably pretty much cover the show today, the amount of time we have. So I'm going to do a few touch-and-goes before we get started. Newsom led California to spend $450 million to upgrade our 911 emergency technology and then scrap the whole thing because the new technology doesn't work. And by the way, that $450 million came out of your pockets, folks, through a fee you've been paying for the last some years. Newsom can't run a lemonade stand. What a loser. $100 million missing from fire aid. Roseanne Barr suing this jerk personally for $100 million because of his policies and his refusal to allow the water that she paid for, that she purchased to protect her home in the Palisades. He still has not accounted for the $100 billion from the high-speed rail scam on the California voter and taxpayer, and even federal taxpayers across the nation who've funneled money into this nonsense. The $37 billion he bilked us for the homeless, which went nowhere, and then the $40 billion for affordable housing that did nothing, and the $5 billion for water storage he squandered, and the $500 million he wasted to stop the flow of raw sewage waste from Mexico. You know, it might be a good idea to ship this guy to Venezuela as a kind of a secret weapon to destroy that enemy before they, well, anyway. You know about Mark Kelly, right? The guy who joined the Seditious Six, who called on U.S. troops to disobey the orders of their commander-in-chief. What's that? Yeah, that's what they did. You say, no, they qualified it by saying disobey only unlawful orders. Well, that's silly. I mean, every troop knows that already. They need to trot out and put together this very slick, highly developed and scripted thing to tell our soldiers that. Now, there's something else going on here. You know that. That's something every soldier is taught when they enter the armed forces. I remember being told that when I was in the Army. Everybody knows that. So they did not specify what order they're talking about, but they have said plenty before and after. And they especially don't like the U.S. taking out these narco-terrorists from Venezuela. It's funny, they never complained when Obama ordered a hit on an American citizen, Anwar al-Awlaki, anyway, targeted as an extremist Islamist who was visiting abroad when Obama ordered him killed. Yeah, this guy was an American citizen and he didn't hear a peep from anyone on the left. Oh well, I guess it's about who holds the trigger, not the target that the gun is trained on. I want these seditious six to weigh in on the killing of this American citizen abroad by Obama without trial, without jury, nothing, before they talk to me about Trump designating these Venezuelan cartels drug runners, before they talk to me about Trump designating these Venezuelan cartel drug runners as narco-terrorists and then taking them out. Wait till you hear from the former Venezuelan general, the whistleblower, what he has to say about all this. Anyway, it turns out Kelly got over his skis. He criticized Hegseth for violating department rules after Hegseth discussed Yemen strikes in a Signal group chat. Remember that? Signal gate evaporated. There's nothing to it. You see, that information was classified when he spoke about it in public. It looks like Kelly leaked classified information in his effort to accuse Hegseth of improper use of classified information in a group chat. These guys. The SCOTUS upholds Texas' right to correct the Democrat gerrymandering of their districts. Well, praise the Lord. Another win for justice and for our champion Trump. Now, Act Blue will be the subject of a comprehensive probe by the Department of Justice over allegations of widespread election fraud and illicit contributions, including foreign money getting into our elections. Okay, that takes care of it. I'm ready. How about you? It's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Well, should we keep pausing to remember Pearl Harbor Day every December 7th? Roosevelt said it would be a day that went down in infamy, the day Japan delivered its declaration of war against America, not through diplomatic channels, but by an unprovoked attack on our harbor at Pearl. Is it right to remember these pivots in history? Remembering is important, friend. Throughout the Bible, God calls us to remember. He often rehearses the history of his deliverance and his people's failure, almost always concluding with a reminder of his enduring mercy. Stephen recounted Israel's failures in Acts chapter 7 in a message he preached in Paul's audience, and Paul felt the prick of Stephen's message, and it wouldn't let him go, and it led to his conversion, Acts 9:5. Now, Peter was given a conscience pricker when Jesus warned Peter that he would deny him three times. Peter rejected the prophecy, and at one point he became vehement, incensed and angry. But Jesus attached to his prophecy that Peter would deny him a reminder that would follow Peter for the rest of his natural life, the morning cockcrow. Imagine every morning Peter was reminded of his failure. Well, that's one way to look at it. But here's another way. Peter would also be reminded of Jesus' grace and mercy, his promise to pray for him that his faith fail not, and his restoration to service. I'm sure it also served to remind Peter of his own weakness and his need and dependency upon the Lord. Friend, remembering our failures is good for us, that is, if we learned from them and remember the lessons. Yes, we must remember Pearl Harbor as both a warning against this sort of evil and a testimony to the grace of God who can make all things work together for good. America should remember God's grace in delivering us from coming under the oppression of Imperial Japan or Nazi Germany. Japan should remember and acknowledge the grace of God upon America and upon themselves also. He has restored Japan and elevated that wonderful little island to a place beloved among the nations. Germany must not forget Auschwitz or Dachau or the 6 million Jews who perished in Hitler's final solution. The whole world must remember what happened. We too must remember the price of giving place to the devil and be armed against socialist fascism creeping into our country today. We must remember the Civil War brought on us by the Democrats, by the way, their love for slavery, and be armed against the Civil War that the Democrats are trying to stir up right now. Yes, we must remember there is evil in the world, and also remember the goodness of God to deliver us from evil. Someone said, if we don't learn from history, we're doomed to repeat it. Amen. And that is with this caveat, so long as we remember its lessons. Maduro, he is the illegitimate leader of Venezuela. Got in with Smartmatic magic. More in a moment on that. His chief appointed to run the Venezuelan cartel, put together by Chavez, by the way, at the behest of Cuba, and then handed off to Maduro. Well, his chief was a 3-star general named Hugo Carvajal Barrios, in charge of the Cartel of the Suns, and put in charge of the Venezuelan Department of Intelligence. Barrios was tasked with weaponizing drugs against the United States. A few days ago, he released a letter of confession and became a whistleblower, spilling the beans. He corroborates what we know from multiple other sources and adds some important information. Venezuela launched an undeclared war on America. Remember Pearl Harbor. The former head of Venezuela's intelligence flips on Maduro. He was high up in the chain of command, director of military intelligence, and a deputy in the National Assembly. And today, Barrios is in prison here in America. He pleaded guilty to crimes, including narco-terrorism conspiracy. Notice Pam Bondi was not supportive of giving access to this guy. She dismissed him as having no intelligence value. The rumor is that her staff gave her this assessment. Todd Blanche has her ear and some others. Alex Jones, well, you know him from InfoWars, interviewed Patrick Byrne, who was instrumental in getting the general's testimony and breaking this story for us. In the interest of full disclosure, Patrick Byrne had a sort of Swalwell tryst with an unregistered foreign agent named Maria Butina. I say Swalwell-like, really not like at all. It turned out this girl was a Russian operative convicted of infiltrating U.S. conservative circles as an unregistered foreign agent. At the same time, Byrne was assisting federal probes into Clinton Foundation issues as an informant. He willingly disclosed the Russian spy matter when it was revealed, I think as soon as he became aware of it, and stepped down from Overstock.com. He continued in political activism, targeting fraudulent elections, and made connections with General Flynn, Mike Lindell, Sidney Powell, and other warriors for election integrity. He wrote some books and stuff anyway. He testified that Barrios reached out to him to get his story out because he was being ignored. Byrne went through the proper channels to provide his own legal counsel to Barrios, but every effort was met with stonewalling and rejection. Byrne and his team was able to arrange for a paralegal to have access to Barrios, who, just call him the general, who interviewed him and offered to get his letter to President Trump. Now, we'll go over that letter together after the break. Hold on. I'll be right back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheinbach, your host for the Brain Massage Show. I interviewed Pornaba Wag, running for assembly in the 37th District. She outlined five things she believes are critical to address in order to save California. I thought she demonstrated keen insight and understanding of what our state needs. Here's number three.
The third one is a surplus of oil and gas, and we can become a net exporter. Oil and gas, or particularly oil, well, gasoline is very expensive in this state. It's the most expensive state for gasoline. It's almost $1.50, almost $2 more than the national average. And that's because we have, you know, these blends, the summer blends and winter blends. And on moreover, it's how you make these blends. The whole process, it's so expensive to make the blends. And so they have to pass the costs of making these expensive blends on to the customer. So our gas and oil are very expensive. We've also got other ways to become energy efficient. We've got three big nuclear plants, two of which are being completely dismantled. One is the PG&E nuclear power station in Humboldt. I think it's no more. And the San Onofre in near Camp Pendleton, that has been dismantled. And the last one, which is still sort of running, but maybe 5 to 10%, you know, efficiency, is the Diablo Canyon. And all these three need to be up and running again. So we've got nuclear power, which can probably, we can get 20 to 30% out of that. Oil and gas, which we can probably get 60%. And you got solar and you got wind. But those should be ancillary. Those should be way down on our list. But the big ones are oil and gas, nuclear, and then the distant third and fourth could be geothermal and hydropower is another one. We've got a lot of dams in this state, and we can get a lot of hydroelectricity. Unfortunately, we're trying to get rid of dams. We've gotten rid of two dams up on the Klamath River already in Northern California. So we're going backwards instead of going forwards.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheinbach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheinbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, your brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch, signaling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Former three-star general of Maduro's army, the officer in charge of military intelligence, and head of the cartel, the Sons, including operations conducted by Tren de Aragua, a gang, as you know, specifically tasked with undermining American culture and peace, according to this whistleblower. That was their job. He is flipped and is now revealing the truth about Chavez and Maduro and their undeclared war on America. He wants to talk. We'll take a look at his letter. Pam Bondi and Todd Blanche had no interest in Barrios in the general's statement. The general reached out, and Patrick Byrne was ready to send him his lawyer to represent him. The general was about to be sentenced, at which point Patrick felt that he would lose any incentive to give us anything. So Patrick Byrne and his team and his lawyer thought they should contact Tulsi Gabbard to contact Pam Bondi to explain that there is this guy, the general, who is about to be sentenced on drug trafficking charges from 2011. He has national security information, and we need to interview him. Tulsi's people were briefed four times about this, but Tulsi was never told. About 4 days before the general was to be sentenced, Gary Burstyn, retired CIA senior operations officer and an activist, learned about this, and he'd been working on this for a while, and he made some noise that got Tulsi's attention, and she stepped in. Patrick Byrne says, effectively, the Department of Justice blocked his team's access to the general, and that involved Pam Bondi, Todd Blanche, and John Ratcliffe. Understand, however, that their position was this guy had no useful intelligence anyway. Byrne and his team hired someone as a paralegal for $1 an hour to, I guess, sneak him in there to interview the general, and they succeeded. And they prepared a transcript of the interviews, and General Carvajal wrote the following letter, and it has been presented to President Trump, I understand. So let's take a look. Dear Mr. President, my name is Hugo Carvajal Barrios. For many years, I was a high-ranking member of the Venezuelan regime. I was a three-star general, trusted by both Hugo Chavez and Nicolas Maduro, and served as Director of Military Intelligence and a deputy in the National Assembly. Today, I sit in an American prison because I voluntarily pled guilty to the crimes charged against me, a narco-terrorism conspiracy. I write to atone by telling the full truth so that the United States can protect itself from the dangers I witnessed for so many years. I publicly broke with the Maduro regime in 2017 and fled my country knowing that I face criminal charges in the United States. In doing so, I became their enemy. Knowing the risks, I acted with the strongest conviction to dismantle Maduro's criminal regime and bring freedom to my country. Today, I see the need to address the American people about the reality of what the Venezuelan regime truly is and why President Trump's policies are not only correct, but absolutely necessary to the United States national security. 1. Narco-terrorism. I personally witnessed how Hugo Chavez's government became a criminal organization that is now run by Nicolas Maduro, Diosdado Cabello, and other senior regime officials. Now, here's an aside. Diosdado Cabello is now leading the Venezuelan cartel operations. Now back to the general. The purpose of this organization, now known as the Cartel of the Suns, and again, aside, you will see an image of the sun on the shoulders of the general's uniforms, if not all of their uniforms, and this is intended to identify them as servants, soldiers of the cartel. The general continues, the purpose of the cartel, quote, is to weaponize drugs against the United States. The drugs that reached your cities through new routes were not accidents of corruption, nor just the work of independent traffickers. They were deliberate policies coordinated by the Venezuelan regime against the United States. This plan was suggested by the Cuban regime to Chavez in the mid-2000s and has been successfully executed with help from FARC, and that is the Colombian Narco-Terrorist Organization, and then the general continues, ELN, ELN, and then Cuban operatives and Hezbollah. Yeah, that's who's behind all this. The regime has provided weapons, passports, and impunity for these terrorist organizations to operate freely from Venezuela against the United States. Man, are you hearing this? Okay, back to the general. Tren de Aragua. It's the second section. I was present when decisions were made to organize and weaponize criminal gangs across Venezuela to protect the regime, among them the group known as Tren de Aragua. Chavez ordered the recruitment of criminal leaders inside and outside prisons to defend the revolution in exchange for impunity. After Chavez died, Maduro expanded the strategy by exporting criminality and chaos abroad to target Venezuelan political exiles and artificially reduce crime statistics within Venezuela. Gang leaders were instructed to send thousands of members out of the country. This was coordinated through the Ministry of the Interior and Ministry of Prisons, the National Guard, and National Police Forces. Tren de Aragua became the most effective and fastest growing. You and I know Trump's been telling this right along. When the Biden-Harris open border policy became widely known, they seized the opportunity to send these operatives into the United States. They now have obedient armed personnel on American soil. To finance their operations, they were explicitly instructed to continue kidnapping, extorting, and killing. Every crime they commit on your soil is an act ordered by the regime. Third section, counterintelligence and espionage against the United States. I was present when Russian intelligence came to Caracas to propose to Hugo Chavez the tapping of submarine internet cables that connect most of South America and the Caribbean islands with the United States for the purpose of penetrating United States government communications. In 2015, I warned Maduro that allowing Russian intelligence to build and run a secret listening post on La Orchilla Island would one day invite American bombs. He ignored me. For 20 years, the Venezuelan regime sent spies into your country. Many are still there, some disguised as members of the Venezuelan opposition. And as an aside, we've got Venezuelan spies in our country and others from Cuba working in our government. Yeah, think about that. Say that. The general continues, quote, Cuban intelligence showed me their networks inside your naval bases on the East Coast. They bragged about having sent thousands of spies over decades, some now career politicians. U.S. diplomats and CIA officers were paid to assist Chavez and Maduro in remaining in power. These Americans acted as spies for Cuba and Venezuela, and some remain active to this day. Fourth and final section, Smartmatic and your elections. Smartmatic was born as an electoral tool of the Venezuelan regime, but soon derived, and I think he meant developed, into a tool to help keep the regime stay in power, or to stay in power. I know this because I placed the head of IT, of the National Electoral Council, CNE, in his position, and he reported directly to me. Now, as an aside, this is exactly what Sidney Powell and Mike Lindell were telling us back in 2020. So back to the general. Quote, the Smartmatic system can be altered. This is a fact. The technology was later exported abroad, including to the United States. Regime operatives maintain relationships with election officials and voting machine companies inside your country. I do not claim that every election is stolen, but I state with certainty that elections can be rigged with the software, and this has been used to do so. The people of the United States make no mistake about the threat posed by allowing a narco-terrorist organization to roam freely in the Caribbean and throughout Latin America, doing everything possible to harm the American people, to finance anti-Americanism across the continent, and to facilitate the operations of other terrorist organizations and enemies of the United States within Venezuela and now within your borders. The regime I served is not merely hostile. It is at war with you, using drugs, gangs, espionage, and even your own democratic process as weapons. President Trump's policies against the Maduro criminal regime are not just justified, but necessary and proportionate to the threat. He may even be underestimating what the regime is prepared to do to hold on to power. They have contingency plans for every extreme scenario to ensure they never relinquish control. I absolutely support President Trump's policy towards Venezuela because it is in self-defense and he is acting based on the truth. I remain ready to provide additional details about these matters to the United States government. He signs off. Let's look at some latest developments. I got a little bit of time. Include Trump's increasing pressure on Maduro to step down. You been watching that? It's been rumored that Maduro was going to step down, but he backed out. At least that's the rumor. And we know that Trump had given him a safe passage offer. We heard him state it. But Maduro let it expire. A Reuters headline says, quote, Trump rejected Maduro requests on call. Options narrow for Venezuela leader, sources say, end quote. I understand Maduro asked for amnesty and the lifting of sanctions, and Trump said, no deal. Maduro proposed that his vice president, Delcy Rodriguez, lead the interim government before new elections. Trump said no. At present, Maduro's administration seeks another call with Trump. Well, we'll see where that goes. Russia and China, very interestingly, who stood up to back Venezuela, have now backed off. They've cut Venezuela loose. Putin said he would back Venezuela to the point of World War III. Well, Trump called his bluff, and Putin folded. This is getting real, friends. I've lit the lamps at Church Belfry Arts. You let me know you see they're on. You can email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. Brainmassage.net, find the Contact Us button and click it. Complete the forms there. Very minimal information we ask for. Just simply your email to send it to you, to send our response. And then click send. You can leave a message for me on our listener response hotline, 1-805-314-2114. God bless you, my dear friends. God bless America. I'll be in my pulpit this Sunday. I look forward to seeing you in church.
Encounter God. The word means to meet, to experience, to confront. How would you like to encounter God? Maybe it's been a while since you've experienced God in a meaningful encounter. Renew your experience of God with a fresh encounter, or maybe you've never experienced God and He doesn't seem real to you. You can encounter God and know that God is real. Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m.